Hi, everybody, and welcome to another installment of EVP Spirit Talk Radio. I am your host, Joni, and I have a special guest host tonight. We have Chris Maggard from Tri-State Paranormal.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Chris. How's it going today?
It's going good, except for this blasted heat that we got going on out here and the humidity. Besides that, it's going great.
Okay, yeah, I've had a pretty good day. Got a little hectic there before we started the show, but I think everything's calmed down. But that happens to me every time we have a show, so I kind of expect that to happen anymore. It wouldn't be right if it didn't.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It makes it a little exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I can't take that anymore. I don't need all excitement in my life. So anyway, so, Chris, did you see that they capped the oil, I think, didn't they?
Oh, my God. It's funny. I just saw that today. After 80 days of that oil leaking into our ocean, they finally got off their butts and capped that thing. So I'm wondering who down there in New Orleans or somebody of those city-based oceanfront properties decided they had enough and grabbed the CEOs and stuffed them in the hole. I think that's what happened.
I don't know. I just don't understand it. I'm like, all that technology and they couldn't do that sooner? Or I saw one of the news wires that was off of a couple weeks ago. They said the night before that explosion, when that all started, that they were selling off a bunch of their stock. Their big stockholders were selling their stock. So it looked like they knew something was going to happen before it happened.
Yeah, and there was a lot of corners they cut. Even the guys that survived when that rig went down, the gentleman that survived, I think it was about eight of them, I'm not sure, six or eight. It makes me wonder, they even said there was some corners that were cut while that place was in operation.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me wonder, what's going on? Are they really cutting corners? And they don't even care about the people.
No, they don't. They're cutting corners because it's money, and that's how the world runs. And I totally believe that they do, because I know every place I know where people are employed cuts corners. Not severely as this, where it's a very intense situation where these people could be dead in 2 seconds. But they do. They cut corners if they can, because it's all about the stockholders and making money.
Yeah,
and
it is.
This is all the truth. I never knew all these years, and we had BP stations in my town. I never knew BP stood for British Petroleum.
British Petroleum, yes, it did.
I never knew that.
Yes, it does.
Never thought about it.
And did you know, while we were having this crisis in the Gulf, that our CEOs of BP Corporation were over here in California having a party?
Huh?
Now, the CEOs of BP were over in California having a golfing party today and yesterday. So they didn't even know yet if this cap was worked, and they were already celebrating.
Well, that one guy that was running the show there for a while, I can't remember his name. I probably blocked it from my head, but he was like, God, I wish this was over so I could go back to my normal life. And, they do care about the little people, and he was saying stuff like that to Congress, and they were ripping him, because I watched that. But he didn't do any good. He just sat out there like a rock. He's like, so what? What are you going to do to me?
Well, did you know that?
His attitude.
Did you know that last year, BP alone, BP only, profit, this is profit after bills been paid, labor's been paid, whatever other, the workman's comp's been paid, they profited $8 billion. That's $8 billion profit, money in their pocket.
Good
BP
God.
Did. That's BP alone. Good. Now, we still got Exxon and Texaco corporations and Shell corporations. Can you imagine this money these people are making?
Mm-mm. No, I can't. I really can't. I can't. I can't wrap my head around that much money.
Mm-mm.
It's just impossible for me. I can't do that.
And here's another thing in the news, real quick. I don't know when you want to bring our guest on, who's actually a very awesome guest. I can't wait to talk to her. But did you hear this week in Texas? Actually, it was last week in Texas. They caught what they got it on video, a chupacabra in a barn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They captured and killed a chupacabra in a barn, which, you know, I don't know if anybody's been doing any studies on it, which looks like a naked dog. Dog mm-hmm. with no hair, very skinny. And I watched this video, and I like to know what this kind of breed of a dog this is. If this is what the chupacabra is, but wow, it's an ugly little thing.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of so-called, like, I saw a roadkill pictured, and I saw, like, pictures of people have drawn when they say they had, like, down South America and stuff. Mm-hmm. What'd you think it might be?
Well, it was actually...
Whole different variety?
Well, I've seen this image of this chupacabra before. You know, the naked, you know, the hairless dog, skinny hairless mm-hmm. dog. And no, Jeff, it wasn't Meadow. Meadow's got hair. We love Meadow, but I've seen it before, and they actually showed the farmer pulling the dog out with looked like he had a rake after they shot it, pulling it out of the barn, and I was like, "Wow, that's a wicked looking dog."
I'll check that out. I didn't see it.
Yeah,
I and like then that also, stuff. I love this kind of thing. I love Bigfoots and chupacabras and everything else like that too. So.
And new in the news today, just posted on the news, that Japan had to shut down their major airport because of a UFO that was flying over the airport. And they actually got video and pictures of this online right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. They're all over the place.
Now, of course,
people aren't seeing them.
Oh, I know. But, you know, who's to say it wasn't a prank? Or a joke, but I mean, it's a pretty interesting looking machine flying over Japan.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, but I guess we probably better get our guest Ed today.
Yeah.
that's where my head is tonight. Her name, I believe it's pronounced Linaya Lee. And she is an author of, well, several things, but she's on here tonight to talk about her last book, which is called The Skulls of Salvation.
Oh, and I can't
wait. It relates to the Mayan and the crystal skulls and everything that's really, really interesting. So we're real interested in seeing how she wrote this and why she wrote it mainly. So we will take a little break then, I guess, and get Linaya on the line.
Oh, that would be great.
Join Residual Hauntings live every Wednesday night at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Residual Hauntings Live will bring you the best of the best, and not to mention, the Paranormal Ninja. So wind your Wednesday down with Residual Hauntings Live at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio
Network. Christopher Moon's Haunted Times Magazine, voted the best paranormal magazine in the world by the International Paranormal Acknowledgement Awards, now comes to you live every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join Christopher Moon, Dina Everling, and Paulette Huff as each week they welcome guests from all avenues of the paranormal and metaphysical realm, bringing you the best of the best, doing their part to help you think farther than you could ever imagine. Haunted Times Magazine Radio, Wednesday nights from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Paratrinity Radio airs live every Saturday on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join hosts Mike and Ellie Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com. Sponsored by HostYourGhost.com. Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is.
Have you ever wondered if the urban legends in your town were true? Join Cincinnati Regional Association for Paranormal Studies, also known as CRABS, on their ventures in the search of the tri-state's urban legends. Every community has its urban legends and folklore. The Cincinnati area is no different. Those stories of tragic deaths and the hauntings that follow, sighting of strange creatures, devil worshippers, abandoned crematoriums, ghosts and ghouls, and even Charlie Manson. Craps has heard all the stories also, and now they are going to check them out for themselves. They are going all over southern Ohio, northern Kentucky, southeast Indiana, looking for the truth behind these stories. But the best part is, they're taking you with them. So join them for their paranormal road trip as they investigate the tri-state's urban legends. You can visit their website at www.o-craps.com. That's www.oh-craps.com.
Welcome back, everybody, and Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Jeff in the chat room. Chris and I are here with Ladea.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome very much. We're so glad you could come on and talk to us about your book.
So, Lynette. Go ahead. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I tell you what, your book that you have here, I mean, I have been really interested with the 12 crystal skulls and the Aztecs and the Mayas and the Belize and everything and the whole concept of that and how we're supposed to bring all the skulls together before December 21st, 2012. And what I wanted to know, where did you start getting into this, and how did you start getting into this to write this book, and all the books about Atlantis that you are talking about doing?
Well, I am very much the amateur ancient historian, and I have been interested in history since I could walk, I guess. My mom was a school teacher. She introduced me to Plato's Atlantis when I was 5. And ever since then, I've been obsessed with it. Now, I learned about the skulls when I was in high school, which was a while back. And I've had time over the years to develop quite the fascination.
Really? Now, do you actually believe in the whole 12 crystal skull theory?
Absolutely.
And the empowerment that it does and it can
absolutely,
create?
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind.
Now, have you ever seen any of those, any of them yourself, personally?
Oh, to be so honored. I wish I could. But no, I haven't. I'm just, you know, one thing I try to do in my books, I try to pass on the passion that I feel for certain things. And that's why I picked to write about things I'm passionate about. And I hope my passion comes through in the books.
I read on your biography, you've had quite a, I don't know what the word is for your life, but it's a lot different than the kind of lives that most of us have had. I mean, you know, just your life in general and your health and things like that. And I thought it was really interesting with your grandmother being a witch. And we had wondered if there was any influence of that type in your writings and such.
Yes, because, you know, I'm a very versatile writer. I can write any genre that I choose. But I choose darkness and the occult and the paranormal because I grew up with it. It's always been in my life. And I mean, you know, these things are true. I mean, people don't think, you know, black magic, oh yeah, you know. It's true. I've seen it in action. It's true.
Now, you know, you're talking about the paranormal, you know, and now a lot of people believe that a lot of stuff that happened in with the Aztecs, the Mayans, and in Belize, that, you know, the creation of the crystal skulls and the creation of the temples there, as well as in Egypt, that it's a more external source of help as far as can go and say is UFO help. That the creation of these crystal skulls and the energy that they create is beyond our own power to make ourselves, and they think it's been influenced by UFOs. What's your theory on that?
Well, the 13th skull is known as the Mitchell Hedges skull, and it was discovered in Belize by Anna Mitchell Hedges in 1920. And this is thought to be the 13th skull because it has a working jawbone. I mean, it's in two pieces.
Right.
And according to legend, you put the 13th around in the center of a circle of 12. The 13th will sing the origins and secrets of the universe, which, you know, I honestly believe. Anyway, Anna Hedges had this man check out her skull. And
right.
The skull is made of quartz crystal, which is the second hardest substance known to man. And even with today's technology, the skulls that they have could not be created as perfectly as the ones that they have. Mm-hmm. So they're not of this earth. That's what the scientist himself said. He said they're not of this earth because there's no way they can figure out how they got created.
Now, we are talking about the same man that from, I do believe, was that Indiana or Illinois? Indiana. And he actually went to these temples down in Mexico to do some research on this. And he was welcomed down there by the Mayans and the Aztecs that are still existing today and still believe in some of the original beliefs from back then, you know, in the early days of the Mayan kings and Aztecs and all that. And they actually say there are still two crystal skulls there that are buried, but they need permission from the government to actually get into these. Have you heard about that?
No, I've heard they have found eight, and they still have five to find. That's what I've heard.
Right.
And, you know, you think about this. I think there's some sort of ancient computer, because what are our computer chips? Quartz crystal.
Yes, they use
that. I bet there's some form of ancient computer. Because
mm-hmm.
Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet of the 30s and 40s,
mm-hmm.
the man was a genius. He never finished.
Yes, yeah, I'm a big fan. He's one of my idols.
He opened up a clinic, you know, to diagnose people with trances. And he said that he was always led by the High Council of Atlantis. Well, the High Council, mm-hmm. according to him, consisted of 13. There are 13 crystal skulls. Coincidence?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Now, the 13th skull, because they do have, you know, worldwide right now, there is 8 of them collected. But the 13th one is supposed to be the center of the whole 12, where it sits in the center, is from what I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the Adam Mitchell Hedges skull, the one I was talking about.
Yes.
And the reason they think it's the 13th, because it's the only one that they have that has a working jawbone, that the skull could actually look like it was talking or singing, if need be. And that's
okay.
Why, according to legend, the 13th talks. So that's why they think that's the 13th.
Yes. And now, the importance of the skulls is that, as connected to the Mayan calendar, is that if when like, they put all these 13 skulls in a circle, and that's the only way that when it comes to December of 2012 that we will know how this world will not be destroyed, because the Mayans, apparently, they said, because this is the first time I'd read this, they said that the world is going to be destroyed by water. Is that right?
Oh, yes, exactly. But also it says in Revelation that the earth will be destroyed by fire and brimstone.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw the movie 2012, where there were earthquakes and magma coming out of the center of the earth, which
mm-hmm.
would be shot into the atmosphere and rain back down on earth, and these huge, huge tsunamis. There you go.
Now, you
okay.
know, what? Now, Joni, like you talked about the Mayan calendar. Now, I've also studied a little bit on that calendar that actually, when it ends, their calendar ends at 2012. It says it's a new beginning. So either that means, you know, a lot of people have taken their interpretation on that. And I want yours on this one, too, Leanna. Oh, it's hard to say your name again. But, you know, they say it's either the world's going to be destroyed or actually it's going to be like a new chapter.
Like the rapture or something.
Well, actually, a new either that
it all
or
goes back, you know, to religion and myth and mythology.
Mm-hmm.
It all goes back to faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that maybe with the end of the calendar, it could be disastrous. Oh, yes. But it could also be an awakening, which started happening about 10 or 20 years ago. Because you look at there, all paranormal investigators, the people that are trying to get in touch with their spirituality, 30 right. years ago, none of this stuff was going on.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot more people
and
are starting to
I can honestly
number.
Say I've lived through what I've known.
Mm-hmm. I know.
None of this is going on.
Now, have you actually ever got a chance to go to any of these places?
Oh, I wish. No. I had a stroke when I was 35 that put me in a wheelchair, so I'm kind of limited to what I can do. But I have the imagination and creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I meant. You've done a lot for what you've been through. It's amazing.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that a lot of people don't understand about the Doomsday Prophecy is a lot of people think this is going to be a planetary alignment. The planetary alignment occurs every 11 years. The one that's going to happen occurs every 25,800 years. Mm-hmm. And it's called a galactic alignment. What it is, it's the Milky Way, the Sun, and the Earth in total trajectory of each other. Okay, they think the center of the Milky Way is the center of our universe. They also think it's a black hole. And because mm-hmm. of that being so unstable, there'd be immense gravitational pull. Okay,
right.
the sun's solar storms, they're going to peak in 2012. Now, if by chance the gravitational pull shot a solar burst our way, our hole's got an ozone layer. Our ozone layer's got a hole in it. We'll get some of the radiation. But if it's a gamma ray burst, the particles that are thrown out before the burst would totally eat our what we have left of an ozone layer away. We'd be at the mercy of the burst.
And we're going to need some extreme sunblock.
I'm telling you what,
at the least.
Like 200 PF, you know.
2 million, 2 million. On TV about that a couple of weeks ago, Lana, and that's exactly what they were talking about, because I'd never heard that aspect of it before, about the black hole and the solar storms, and it scared me. It did kind of scare me. I'm like, wow. And they were talking about the alignment and stuff, and it's been about 30,000
years. And see, a lot of people also think they talk about polar shift, but what they don't understand is not going to be the actual north and south poles that shift. It's going to be the magnetic poles that shift.
Exactly.
And that will cause a lot of upheaval on this Earth.
Well, you do know that every year that the magnetic poles actually do shift just a little bit. I think what they averaged was a quarter of an inch a year they actually do move from their steady position.
That's fine. They're talking, from what I've read, they're talking about one big shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big shift.
I mean, I guess you could compare it to biblical disaster, that'd be the word you use.
Yeah, right.
You mean like the flood?
People better learn how to swim like that.
Oh, well, we practiced that out in Southern California for the big earthquake, just in case we had beachfront property. So we got the swimming part down.
You ain't going to have that beachfront property unless you live in Arizona.
California's
going to drop off
for a while.
So let me ask you.
I live on the East Coast. I mean,
let me ask you.
I do too. And they said that the only thing that might save us, because we're in Ohio, is the mountains. Because the mountains are in West Virginia. That might help us a little bit.
But when I saw in 2012 a tidal wave going through the Himalayas, I mean, that kind of dissolved that thought.
That's a big surfboard.
I know. Uh-huh.
So let me ask you, since you know about the solar flares and the magnetic pulls and that your belief in the paranormal, now do you believe at certain peaks from the sun when they do have these solar flares shoot out these gamma rays towards the Earth, and then the magnetic pull sometimes, you know, when they get kind of shifty, do you think that has a lot to do with the paranormal activity and if it ups the paranormal activity?
I think that if you're like in a electromagnetic storm, per se, a bad storm, that ups the chance of paranormal activity. I believe, running water up the chest for paranormal activity. Because all spirits are energy. They need energy to manifest. They're going to get it from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I just believe, you know, if there's energy around them, they're going to use what they can, whether to speak or appear or whatever.
Now, do you, now, here's, I know I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, and, you know, with, based on what the Mayans and the Aztecs and all that believed, and even some of the cultures, you know, the, like over in Egypt and, you know, Belize, and some of the things that they built, you know, do you think that we're the only beings in the whole universe? Do you, I mean, do you strong, I mean, I know we touched base on the creation of the crystal skull, but do you think
all
there's
right,
just...
let me answer that by a statement.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in our universe, it is thought there's over 300 galaxies.
Correct.
We would be mighty arrogant and conceited to think that we were the only intelligent beings out there.
Yeah, that's, to think we are the most intelligent beings besides that, there's just
exactly
no way.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And, you know, a lot of this, I was talking after who we had on one night, and he was a shaman that had something to do with this old order of, I believe, Aztec. But anyway, we were talking about some of the carvings and such they had found where they're trying to leave their records, you know, temples and things. And they are like the ones, now this is in, would be Central America, they are like the ones that are in Africa, in Egypt, in places. But there is no way that we know that those people from Egypt could have come over to Central America and done the same thing. So that's what made us, we were talking about another being, you know, coming down from the sky or wherever that put this all in motion.
You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Open
I know,
your
it's
eyes
so simple.
And look around.
But why didn't they accept that then?
They
just didn't accept it. I know.
The mounds in Ireland, the pyramids of Central America, of, you know, the Pueblo Indians.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Mm-hmm, that's exactly what we were talking about.
They may have built them, but they had help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
exactly.
is my belief. And I believe the help they had were people from Atlantis that survived the devastation. They had to go somewhere. And I think they said these people had to live more of a simple life. I mean, that's my belief.
Right. So, what do you think about Atlantis? Was it a continent that sank, or was it a continent
Absolutely.
That was obliterated? Is that what you think it is?
It sank. It sank. It sank.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it is?
That's what I always kind of thought it was, too. And they said they had found that stuff off Bermuda, where they think there was a city, and it's like on the seabed. And
right.
they were looking at it for a while, thinking maybe that was Atlantis, because
you're
you know,
absolutely
as far as,
right.
As far as most people think, it's a fantasy, and I don't
know. You go
we're
to Plato.
Too...
The writings of Plato, he says that it was beyond the pillars of Hercules, which they figured out by things with the Straits of Gibraltar, that
exactly.
was right in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, right off the coast of Cuba last year, as a matter of fact. They did some underwater sonar on the ocean floor. They got echoes of buildings under the ocean floor. And what was so amazing, the sea floor itself was 75% beach sand, which means it was above water at one time. You go to Puerto Rico, 75 miles off the coast of Puerto Rico is the Puerto Rican Trench. 1,100 miles long, 5 miles wide, 6 miles below sea level. Only one scientific team I know has even conquered that depth, and it almost killed him, and that was in 1960, and they hadn't tried since. And if they ever get down to that depth, I think they'll find remnants. And then somebody once said, well, they found Titanic. Yeah, they found Titanic. That's only 2.5 miles below, not 6.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking a big difference there.
Now, can I want to bring up something. You know, it's kind of based on what, you know, the whole Atlantis theory and everything. Now, in Aztec community and some of the artifacts they found. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but they actually found, I would say maybe it's an inch long, gold trinket that is made into a ship. It looks like a flying ship. Now, this was found in the Aztec ruins, buried. And it's solid gold, and it's got fine carvings on it, and it's very small, and it looks like a little flying airplane. Now, have you seen this?
Yes, I've heard of it, yes.
And they're basing that off the Atlantis theory that the Atlanteans had the knowledge of making flying machines, and so they think the Aztecs and the Incas and the Mayas as well had the same technology. Even the Egyptians in their hieroglyphs have drawn pictures of flying machines coming from the sky.
If you, yeah, there you are. Look at any of the old hieroglyphs, pictographs, there are all sorts of civilizations that look like, you know, drawings of astronauts, people with helmets on and stuff. If you go back beyond Babylon, before Babylon was Awanaki, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And according to lore, they were from a different planet. They came to Earth to mine gold because gold here was, you know, a big reserve.
Right.
And over time, they mated with the workers, and that's how humans came to be, so mm-hmm. they say. But, you know, that's just another
theory. Yeah, I've heard that, too. Yeah, I've heard that theory. I know I saw a painting. I don't know if it was Da Vinci. It was one of those very, very ancient, well, not ancient, but, you know, that era of painters, 1600s, 1700s, no, probably 1600s.
Renaissance.
Yeah, Renaissance. There you go. God, you're smart. Anyway, this painting, it was of Christ. Actually, it was a picture of Mary with Christ as a baby. And in the background, there is a flying saucer. It looks like a flying saucer in the background of that painting. Yeah, I saw that.
I've seen it.
So there you go.
I mean, you think about this, if you're going to talk about the Bible. Okay, you got God, Mary, and Jesus. But if you go back to ancient Egypt, you've got mm-hmm. Horus, Isis. Now you've got Osiris, Isis, and Horus.
Oh, you're talking up my alley. I love it. Yes.
There, see, you're into Egyptology, too, I see.
Yeah,
right,
I'm covered.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
The Great Pyramid itself has no hieroglyphs or pictographs in it.
Right.
The other ones do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If the workers worked in those pyramids in the summer, you're talking about 120, 130 degree weather.
Oh, yeah.
They had
yeah.
to have some kind of airflow. And how did they use light? If they used torches, there'd have been carbon residue on the walls. There are none. So how they do it?
See, now that is still something they're still studying. Now, on the Great Pyramids of Giza and the main one, they did have these tubes that come from the side, which they say based on using mirrors like bronze, shined up bronze or gold to reflect light to bounce through. But to do that, they have recreated this several times, and the light just dissipates further you go into it.
It's too dim. They couldn't use
it. Yeah, it dissipates. And you can't have torches because it will take away the oxygen with inside these tombs.
I heard a theory about the Great Pyramid of Giza a while back. You know, it has these canals, these shafts. They put this little robot thing through it.
Yes, they did.
And it ran into a wall. Well, what they think it is, it was an electric plant. That would make sense. They combined two different kinds of things through the shaft, and they made hydrogen.
Well, you do know they created, I don't mean to cut you off, but you're touching a very good point. You do know that even in Babylon, before it became Baghdad, that they created their own battery in Babylon by the use of oils and water, and then the Egyptians actually created their own light bulb by the use of water. They actually found an artifact in the weird shape of an elongated glass tube with wiring, gold and bronze wiring inside, hooked up to a little crank with water. So now that's the theory they're trying to go to now, how they built inside those tombs and actually did the hieroglyphs and paintings inside these tombs in Egypt.
That's, you know, and why couldn't they have 5 or 6 of them to give batteries to give them light or whatever?
Well, that's like I said, even in Babylon, they created their own battery with water and oils, which lasted probably maybe, I think these batteries lasted, they are a pretty good size, maybe 1 foot tall by 8 inches round, and I think they lasted probably about 2 hours is what they figured out when they tried to recreate that.
But if they had all these workers that were doing this, you know, making batteries and giving life, it could have went on for infinity.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, and that's again, where did they get the technology then to create all this? I mean, we can't even create what they have built back then, the blocks that they used to build these pyramids. With the technology and equipment we have today, we can't recreate the precise cuts they did.
I know. I've seen some of the stones. I believe one of the stones that I saw was Aztec. The thing was cut so precise you couldn't even get a piece of paper in between it.
No, you couldn't. So let's talk
about precise. Well,
so let's talk about this 5-part series of Atlantis you're working on. Kind of curious. Can you touch on anything on that yet? Or?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting ready to release book 3.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
All right. Let me just start it from the first book so you understand. I'm writing about the last known king of Atlantis. His name is Archimedes. I know that's a Greek mathematician, but evidently it's stuck in my subconscious from high school, because when I was, you know, thinking of names, it popped in there, and I said, oh, how cool I used to. All right, and we start with him as a child, owned the continent of Atlantis. But there's something very special about him. He has a source of superhuman power. His mother knows where it came from, but his father, the king that preceded him, does not know. His father has an advisor. His name is Uruk. He's my villain. He has the same powers that Archimedes does. And Uruk comes up with the idea that if he could harness the powers of Archimedes along with his own, it would make him powerful enough to become master of the universe. And because of the devastation, because of their powers, they both survive the devastation. And they have eternal life. And Uruk chases Archimedes throughout history, with Archimedes taking on personalities such as Imhotep, Pakal of the Mayan. I even threw Da Vinci in there. Nostradamus is in there. That's basically it. When I started the book, it was supposed to be 1. When I finished, it was 5.
Yeah.
Wow, that is awesome. That is truly awesome. And this is all based on, now this is not just like a novel, or this is a novel based on documented facts? Is this, that's how you're doing this?
It's history. I kind of wrote like Dan Brown did the Da Vinci Code.
Right.
I presented the facts, and then I weaved my fantasy around the facts. That's when it's fun.
Yeah, what I read reminded me of the Da Vinci Code, tell you the truth. That's the first thing that popped in my mind. A thing that I thought was interesting, because they always said that the Mayans hadn't left any information behind that they couldn't find, that they could find. And then when I read through your, the information you had sent me, I never thought about the Catholics, you know, when the Spanish landed there and tried to convert them to Catholicism?
Yep.
And they went through and took away everything they could find that they had, like, written down.
Yep.
Because they had to, because that was pagan or heathen or whatever, and they had to erase that, all that information, except for these codexes.
And now that they have broke the language, they also have this temple of inscriptions. This thing has all kinds of information, and it's in stone. The Spanish couldn't store that. And it is just totally amazing, some of the things they come in with. The reason I believe they had influence from Atlantis is because in their mythology, they talk of a white man that came from the ocean. He lived among them for about 10 years. And they thought he was a god because he showed them all kinds of different technologies and stuff. And then one day he told them that he had to go back to his home, which was submerged in water. He left, and when the conquistadors came, they thought, you know, this was this white god's people. So they welcomed them. And the rest is history.
Wow. Before I forget, your husband wants me to ask you what your nickname is.
I knew it. I'm in a wheelchair and I sit. I'm a Taurus. I'm a bull. That's we
oh,
have.
Oh, okay.
Bull.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have a my rising sign is a Taurus. But you know what? We get things done.
The only sign to be for determination, anyway.
Now, can I ask for you sure. after you follow up with you know these 5-part series, are you gonna do you have any plans of doing anything different or write any other?
Absolutely, I've already written a new novel.
Awesome. Oh, you know what? I wanted to bring up. We've listened to one of your audio poems.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that was
yeah, yeah.
Very interesting.
Scavenger?
That one and also the one about possibly Hitler's baby.
Oh, yes. I'm doing that series now.
Now, it's that's called, very interesting.
It's called Paradox 5. And the Paradox is a time travel machine. And the five people that were chosen from throughout the world because of their special expertise, like in martial arts, electronics, you know. And then Hitler has an illegitimate, fictitious grandson that tries to bring his grandfather's dream back. The elite five try and stop him. That's the series.
Now,
The book I saw, have y'all seen Shutter Island?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. I love
well,
that movie.
The last book I wrote was called Prey of the Scavenger.
Mm-hmm.
My scavenger is a serial killer that practices hoodoo. Now, my story topic is nothing like Shutter Island, but it unfolds in quite the same way.
Okay.
The twist at the end... You don't know anything until you finish that last chapter in the epilogue.
Oh, I love those things.
I think that's going to be a biggie.
Mm-hmm. Now, you get to, you're like, something's wrong here, but I can't put my finger on it. Chris, do you want to play that one MP3?
Yeah, actually, let's get Mike here.
Or some
to
of it. I know we're running short on time, but if
yeah.
Mike could play maybe half of that so they could hear what we're talking about.
Yeah, Mike, if you got that, could you run that first part of it where it talks about Hitler's baby?
Right.
This is interesting. Everybody in the chat room, I think you'll find this pretty interesting, too. Go ahead, Mike, and let's take a listen to this.
Okay, here we go.
It would be hard to believe a remnant of an insane Hitler remains in our day and time. A living, breathing remnant. I don't think anyone would want to deal with or see. Could be Hitler might have had an illegitimate child. One copied from his very design. A person just as ruthless as he was. Genocide. Of people he thought were impure, and for them there was nowhere to flee. This scenario could be a very real thing. Once more the world would see the horrors from another Hitler. The concentration camps, people totally controlled from
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, that's eerie. Who did your vocals or your voiceovers, I guess, for those?
His name is Victor Rossetti. He and I have a show on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday night at 9 called Whispers in the Dark. And he reads dark poetry and dark literature, short stories. He's great, isn't he?
Yeah, he's awesome.
We've been friends about 8 years. We didn't even think about cutting a CD until this past December.
Now, do you think that there's actually some descendants of Hitler today?
Probably. I don't think he died.
I was watching something the other night, and they said someone had seen him drugged with medication, and walked out of that bunker the time that he was supposed to commit suicide. Somebody saw him leaving with people.
Probably.
And that he didn't die until, 1962.
Have always told us they had his skull, or part of his skull, with a gunshot wound through it. Well, this guy was given 1 hour with that skull to take measurements and stuff from the States. They did DNA on it, and it's the skull of a woman. It is not a man.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. Indeed it is. Huh.
And they have a couch that they say Hitler shot himself on. I've heard he's been in a chair, now there's a couch. They did some testing of the blood. It's male blood, but they can't prove it was Hitler's blood. They got his DNA somehow, but they did.
That, yeah, because you'd have to have that, right?
Right.
Wow.
Well, if he's alive today, I don't think he.
They're saying he died in '62, Chris, down in South America. And that's where that.
Argentina.
And that's where that doctor was. What's that doctor's name? He died down there, too, they think.
Oh, I know you were talking about. It was his personal physician.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
I've heard about that. And I tell you what, if he was alive today, I tell you what, who would be trying to get a hold of him? That would be our good old guy over there in Afghanistan. Obama or whatever his name is.
Oh, I know.
But, you know, that are really scary, you know, because according to Nostradamus, there are going to be 3 Antichrists.
Mm-hmm.
One was Napoleon, the second was Hitler, and the third, we don't know yet, but the third is here.
You know, that's very true.
A lot of people try to blame that on Obama,
saying a word.
Okay, I'll give up. I'm here.
I couldn't prove it. I keep my thoughts to myself, but
you're
on the right track.
I confess. It's me. I'm sorry. I'm here. I confess.
Who's to say it's not a female?
This is true.
Well, I don't know. We don't know, do we?
We don't. But I ain't saying nothing. Maybe her name is Nancy.
Okay, we are up towards the top of the hour here. We're going to run one little commercial, and Linnea, when you come back, if you want to give out your websites or anything else, you need to plug yourself away and feel free to, and we'll wrap her up.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Tune in to Miami Town Ghost Talk every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. At www.asprn.com, the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Hosts Mike and Jeff, authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, plan to delve into the subject of ghosts, UFOs, and cryptoids, talking to investigators, authors, and so much more. Tune in every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. for Miami Town Ghost Talk. Kicking off the Thursday night lineup is Monster Quest's very own Jody Cook. Tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday night for Ohio Crypto Radio. Your host, Jody Cook, plans to delve into the many mysteries of cryptozoology, talking about Bigfoot, Mothman, and beyond.
come over to www.asprn.com every Thursday night at 8 p.m. from Jody Cook's Ohio Crypto Radio.
Have you been to Bobby Mackey's and had a paranormal experience? Do you think that your story is good enough to be told in a book? Do you have pictures you might think have spirits in it? If so, contact Crystal from Northern Kentucky Paranormal Society at christel@nkyps.com. And your story just might be published in a book.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits? And you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
Okay, guys, welcome back. We have Linnea here with us, Linnea Lee.
You got it.
I got to think Hawaiian, and talking about her book specifically, Skulls of Salvation, though she's written plenty of other things. So, Linnea, we would like you to just go ahead and tell us where we can find your stuff and tell us about your radio show and everything else that you want to tell us about.
Okay, well, I have 3 anthologies, a CD, and 2 novels out so far. And they're all on Amazon. Everything's on Amazon. And you can go to my website and get them there also, which is www.lanaislair.com, the home page, and you'll see it all.
Okay.
And anybody that has read the book, any of these books, I've gotten rave reviews. I had a movie critic, this friend of my publicist, that read the books, she surmised it in 4 words, page to screen recommendation.
Wow. Yeah, I can see why.
I wanted to get James Cameron. That's my dream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
But, me and you know, him were so interested in a lot of the same things, and he'd love it.
Well, we really look forward to seeing the rest of the series coming out. I mean, it sounds really exciting, and you know, I can't wait to really read all of it in one whole compilation. You know, it sounds really awesome. And, you know, and I hope a lot of these listeners here in the chat will go out there and check out your books and support
buy
your
the books. There you go.
There you go. Buy the books.
Yeah, when we put our podcast up, I'll make sure to get your websites on there so it'll be on the podcast and people can just check it out on there too. Because we do have a lot of pod listeners that aren't here tonight, so we'll make sure that gets on there.
Sounds good, and I do self-publish. That's because I got involved with the Vegas Lit Agent when I first started, and I didn't know anything about the writing industry, but I do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to mess up myself, so I'll do it myself.
Yeah, it's a tough one out there, that's for sure.
Oh, I know you've got 2 types of writers. You got the wannabes that are jealous. Then you got the ones that are established. They don't want to share the limelight because I guess they're afraid you're going to cut into the royalties. I don't know.
Uh-huh. That, well, that's about
can
anything
be
going
cruel,
to.
I'm telling you.
I know. Totally believe it. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask, Chris?
No, I mean, it's been great talking to you. I love everything that you, I love your history knowledge. It's just simply awesome. I mean, it was great having you on here tonight. It was truly wonderful.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate y'all having me.
And we are very honored that you came on, and maybe on down here later on when we have you back. You have to let me know when you get the Hitler novel thing.
I
want to.
I haven't started to finish the first book yet. I'm on chapter 6.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have plenty of time. We have at least till 2012.
Yes,
well,
we do.
We have 2 years. Yeah, well, yeah, we do. If we wake up on December 22nd, so be it, you know. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, that's for sure. But anyway, thanks again for having for coming on with us, and we enjoyed it a lot, and we will talk to you later.
And thank y'all guys so much. Good night now.
Good night.
Okay, good night.
Wow, what a...
Man, that's a lot of information. I know, that's a bunch of information. I'm like, wait a minute, slow down about trying to write stuff down, and he does something else. I'm like, well, I want to scratch that out and write that down.
It's awesome. I mean, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, the history she's gone through, and I love some of her theories. Truly amazing. Truly awesome.
Yeah, because, you know, basically everything's theory. It's just like, which one, to me, would make the most sense, and it seems pretty obvious. So I don't know why there's such a... so much controversy over some of these theories.
Well, you think about it, all these theories that people have throughout the years, it's based on something factual. And they're just trying to dive into it more and break open that shell to see what's really going on. I mean, nobody knows exactly what's really happening in our life or what has happened. I mean, yeah, there is some documentation, but man, it's awesome, and I can't wait till it's all just wide open. I think someday, possibly, it will break open, and we'll be surprised.
I hope you're right, because, you know, a lot of the, and I don't know if the world's going to be destroyed then. I think something's going to happen in 2012, and it may just be that total enlightenment, and I don't know. Something has to happen, because the world is in a really, 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 really bad place right now.
Well, look at the millennium. We were supposed to have a crapshoot there at the millennium, you know, the turn of the century, and everything was supposed to go to hell in a handbasket, but wait, we're still here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
That doesn't surprise me too much, because that was basically, oh my god, my computer's not going to work. That's what everybody's worried about.
But I do know something definitely is going to happen on December 12th 2012. I definitely know for sure what's going to happen. There's going to be some big parties. There
oh
is I, throughout the world. There's going to be parties like you've never seen before.
Go ahead.
I'll bet on that. I'll bet on that one, and I tell you what, I'll win. What I'll do with the money if we die or not, I don't know. But you know,
uh-huh.
But that's a guarantee. That is a guarantee. Mark my words.
Yeah, you probably got a good point there. The closer it gets, everybody's going to get all revved up.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. Anyway, how did you like being on?
Actually I did. You know, this is really fun. I really enjoyed it. Our friends there in the chat room, Nicole from New NLP, we got Mike from Hawaii, Brandon, George, Kathy, Crystal, love you Crystal. Love you. Love you. Love you.
Crystal.
And then we had Jeff, Sylvia and Shannon. Sylvia's drop in to say hi, and you know, it just is really great. And Mike, can't forget you, brother. I know you're there, brother. From Miami
Mike
Town.
Mike wants to keep quiet. He's quiet back there.
But, you know, I really loved it, you know, and I love seeing everybody here. And we had Mitch from Nyack, New York, you know, mm-hmm. Nyack Mitch. Brilliant man. Mm-hmm. Brilliant man. I love Mitch. He's a great man. And so, you know, it's just, this has been awesome.
Well, I talked to you, oh God, months ago before I had technical problems, I guess, about getting him on, and I had him down that I had to cancel him. And if you want to come back on and have Mitch on, since you've worked with Mitch, that would be a pretty good deal.
Oh, I would love to. You know, I could sit and talk to Mitch for hours. I mean, he's such a humble man, but he's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. He really is. You know, the guy is, the inventions he does is just amazing. You know, I'm going to say this, for the paranormal community, he is groundbreaking. What he is developing and still developing is groundbreaking. And I think when I say breaking the shell on things, he's going to break the shell in the paranormal field.
Man, I hope somebody can, but he's also very grounded about it himself. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't actually put himself out there and want praise from everybody. He's just a very, very awesome individual from what I've read about him. So we need to try to do that.
Yeah, let's set that up. Let's get a hold of Mitch. And Mitch, I see you out there. And, you know, And if you ever want to do this with us, man, I would love to jump on here with you, Joni, and Mitch, come along, and we'll pick your brain, brother.
Yeah, he's blushing, he says.
I see that. Don't blush too hard there, Yogi.
That's funny. Okay. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and we really want to thank, help me, Leanna, right? Leanna.
No, Naya.
Naya. Oh, I knew I screwed up. Oh, Lord. Anyway, for being such a great guest and giving us so much information, which is the main reason we do this, is to get information out so hopefully people will think about it and even just consider it, you know. So next week, I'm not sure we have a show on next week, but we definitely, if not next week, we definitely will the week after that. And for all you that are going to be listening to the podcast, thanks to you all, too, for helping support us. And that's about all I have to say.
Awesome. And I don't know. You might hear me more often on here, people. Mike, you just might. Who knows?
Yeah, you just might. That's for sure.
I love this. This is great.
Great. Okay. All right, then. I'm going to say goodbye to the chat room. Goodbye to the chat room. And goodbye, Chris. And goodbye, Mike. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Good night, everybody, and stay tuned for live music from Jammin' Jamie. She's going to rock the night for you, everybody. Joni, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you a million. Love you, too.
Thank you for listening to EVPs. Visit your hosts, Joni and Mike, at www.EgyptValleyParanormalInvestigations.com. And be sure to come back every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.